Williams Bay. Visit ProggyCoffeeWineMusicArt.com.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, proudly serving our Kenosha community since 1911. Visit Jack's Cafe for homemade soups, salads, and sandwiches. Go to jackandrea.com to find out today's specials.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 91.1 on your FM dial, and 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. I am very pleased to welcome Bert Blumgren and Julie White, local master gardeners, along with Jeannie Holinsky Christensen, UW Extension Interim Horticultural Educator for Racine and Kenosha Counties, to Education Matters this morning. I am most pleased that you are willing to share your good work in our schools with our listeners this morning. It strikes me that what you are doing is particularly important today, as it seems to me that our school curricula are becoming more and more applied, which confirms the old Chinese proverb, I hear and I forget. I see and I remember, I do and I understand. Before I forget, I want to remind our listeners that Gateway Technical College, from which we broadcast, has a horticulture program that is primarily housed in a brand new building here on the Kenosha campus and has been around for decades. So what have your contacts been or involvements with that program? I know, Julie, then you worked here at Gateway, and can you tell us a little bit about that program?
Yes, there's a number of majors in that program, but one of the things coming up shortly is the Wintergreen Seminar, which is going to be the end of January, and I've attended those partially. I've not attended a whole seminar, and it consists of a day-long session of a variety of workshops and is open to the community.
So people should be watching out for the announcements of
definitely,
that?
Definitely, definitely. You can register online. I believe it's $60 or $65 for the entire day and includes lunch.
Okay.
And I think it's January 25th, Friday the 25th.
And it deals strictly with horticulture?
Horticulture,
and those kinds
and gardening,
of issues.
Right, right.
Okay. Anyone want to add anything to that? If not, then I want, as long as we're making announcements, I want to mention that Jeannie had an article in yesterday's Racine Journal Times on page 1B, I believe. It's called New Garden Experts Are Trained. And Jeannie then is with UW Extension, she heads the Master Gardener Program. So, Jeannie, can you tell us a little bit about what this article is about? Then people can look at yesterday's paper and check it out.
Sure. We just finished the training for 2017 at the end of November. So about 6 weeks ago, we just got 23 new individuals coming in through the program. They went through 36 hours of an actual garden sessions, intense activities, where they learned more about different aspects of gardening and horticulture. So it's a program that is offered by UW Extension, and we have this program statewide. And all the counties in the state have Master Gardener programs, except one county does not. So we're very fortunate to have individuals who are willing to take this program. Once they become certified Master Gardeners, then they're allowed to volunteer throughout the community in our UW Extension-approved projects where they earn volunteer hours. And that way it helps not only the university disseminate their research-based information, but it also helps our communities learn more about gardening.
Okay, and our master gardeners here today, Bert and Julie, then, are both certified master gardeners.
Yes,
here in the state of Wisconsin. So we're really delighted to have you here. So to get started, we need to tell our listeners what a master gardener is. So, Bert, do you want to start out and tell us what a master gardener is?
Yeah, it's a person that really enjoys gardening. And we have to do continuing education. We work with many different programs in the community. The one that I work with is the Botany in the Classroom, which is working with students in the schools.
And we're going to learn more about that as the program progresses today.
Yes.
Okay, Julie, do you want to add to that then about what a master gardener is?
It's a continuing learning experience because part of the certification and to remain certified is 24 hours of volunteer work as well as 10 hours of approved educational hours each year. And that's part of the whole Master Gardening volunteer experience that I enjoy because I continually learn something new about gardening.
Okay, and so it's not only then could you become a Master Gardener once, but you have to continue to get yourself recertified.
24 hours of volunteer work, okay. And then 10 hours of education a year. Mm-hmm. They have to be submitted by October 1st.
Okay, and so you two people are my guests today then are Master Gardeners, and you have then you keep up on this mm-hmm. volunteer hours by working in the schools.
Right. That's one of the approved projects.
That's great. Okay. So, Jeannie, then tell our listeners how you fit into this project as UW Extension Interim Horticulture Educator for Racine and Kenosha County. So, you're sort of the boss, aren't you?
I guess you could call me that, but I'm more of a coordinator for the Master Gardener Program here in Racine and Kenosha Counties. As part of my duties as the Interim Horticulture Educator, that's one of the main things I have to do is work with the Master Gardeners, and it's actually a great relationship that we have because if I didn't have them, there's a lot of programming that we wouldn't be able to do because we're so limited in our staff. And so within this program, the Master Gardener Program, we have these UW Extension approved projects, and Master Gardeners volunteer their time with these projects. So I try to help them get these projects approved, help them get volunteers, other Master Gardener volunteers to assist them, and work with partnering organizations to set up these projects. These projects, they range from growing plants for our community gardens where we donate the food to local food pantries. We have a project where we work at Chiwaki Prairie, and so we work with invasive plants and the removal of those. And then we have projects like Bert and Julie's project where they coordinate these excellent programs within our schools, which assist not only the staff there, but get the youth involved and excited about gardening. So one of the main criteria for a Master Gardener project is it has to be educational. So the programs we're going to be talking about today are just wonderful examples of this.
Wonderful. And these certainly are enriching for the students and in the schools because it's applied learning as opposed to just reading a book and that sort of thing like
correct.
So much of education is. Can you give us your website or that people can go to find out more about Master Gardening? And the article in yesterday's Racine Journal Times also then gives that information.
Right. The article has the information, but I can also give it to you. We have both county websites have UW Extension website pages. And for Racine County, it's Racine, of course, RACINE.UWEX.EDU. And for Kenosha County UW Extension, it's Kenosha.UWEX.EDU.
Okay. So let's move on then. Bert, how did you get started providing gardening experiences in the curriculum with elementary students? As
first,
a retired military person.
Yes, right. and we used to draw people from throughout this area. And sometimes you don't always are able to get them to come and enlist, and sometimes they don't qualify. But in gardening, I started out at Berner Botanical Gardens right after I retired to work with students and as a docent and also with adults as a docent. And then I found out about the Master Gardeners program. And then in 1992, I took the course and became a Master Gardener. And after a period of time, we wanted to do something in the schools, and the one that really got me started was a fellow in Olympia Brown School, Mike McConnell, and also Karen Kohler, who was doing schooling at one of the schools, was involved with this. And we got started, and off we went.
And Mike McConnell is one of my former Parkside students, so and it's really good to hear about that. And I have known him through all of these years. That's really wonderful. So, Julie, what's your story then in getting started in as a master gardener?
Well, I was initially certified in 2010.
Okay.
And it was the summer of that year that Strange Elementary contacted UW Extension and wanted to start gardening with students. At that time, there were no beds at the elementary school. So Barb Larson, who was the horticulture educator at the time, contacted five or six of us in that new group of gardeners, asked if we wanted to be a part of this beginning gardening, so we volunteered. And then we worked closely with staff at Strange Elementary School and developed four beds. Right now there are 10 beds and
really?
Four barrels and a potato patch. Right in the ground.
So you started with four beds,
mm-hmm.
you moved up to 10 beds,
yeah.
plus a potato patch?
Yeah, that's what a garden is. It grows.
Uh-huh. Okay. And I like the idea of the potato patch, too.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on, Bert. Now let's talk about the botany in the classroom curriculum that you provide to, 11 schools in Racine Unified? Dr. Jones, Giese, Gifford, James, Jefferson Lighthouse, Julian Thomas, North Park, Olympia Brown, S.C. Johnson, Schulte, and Westridge, plus three additional schools, Our Lady of Grace Academy at St. Edward's Church, Raymond Elementary in the town of Raymond, a Drought Elementary town of Norway. Do you have time to sleep?
Yes. Yeah, it's fun. And it isn't that I do all of that work myself. We have about 20 to 25 people that help in the schools. When we go into a school, it is the leader. When I am the leader, then we'll have anywhere between three, four, sometimes six people, depending upon the project that we're going to be working on.
Okay, so the number of people, the number of master gardeners who work with you then depends on the number of kids you're going to be dealing with, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so did you set up these schools, or were they set up for you, or did you inherit them from somebody?
Well, we did at Olympia Brown, and we worked with all of the first, second, and third graders, and we don't go out and advertise. We've never gone out to advertise. Everything happens when, for instance, a teacher is transferred from one school to another school, and
she or he takes the program
right.
with them.
And then they ask, can we come over to that school? And the answer is always yes. Sometimes they leave the school, and the school that we were in doesn't have someone that wants to continue on with it, so that school we don't go to anymore.
Okay.
But everything is word of mouth and always by invitation. We don't go out and say, we've got this. We can do this for you.
How is it publicized in the schools in the first place? Does somebody send out a letter to the schools, or is it all word of mouth now?
Everything is word of mouth.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Let's talk about the curriculum at the various grade levels. Would you start in first grade?
Yes, and with first graders we do what is called spring rabbits, and it's in a milk carton. And they're pre-cut by the teachers or sometimes parents or grandparents so that there are eyes on a milk jug. The nose is the handle. And then the kids will be planting into the jug. They put in some soil. And then they take a handful of oat seeds. And we explain this before they come out to do that. To be careful with the oat seeds, because it would be just like if we would take all of you, bring you up to the front of the room, and squeeze you together and tell you, now you can play, but you can't move. And that seeds are the same way. They can't move. And so you have to take and spread them all the way around. Then we ask them if they like a blanket at night. And, of course, all kids like a blanket at night. And then we tell them that these seeds need a blanket, but it's a different kind of a blanket. It's a blanket of soil. And so then they do the same thing. They pick up a handful of soil. Sometimes they have to have two hands full of soil because their hands aren't that big. And they cover, and then we put a plastic bag over the jug. And from there, it's kept in the room until the seeds germinate. The teachers then help the kids put ears on the rabbit, a nose on the rabbit with whiskers, and a tail on the rabbit sometimes. And then just before spring break, they take their rabbit home.
Wonderful. And so really, this is geared right to the age level that the kids are. Now, and so then, is that the first grade program? Do you have second, second, third, fourth grade, do you those programs too?
Yes. In the second grade, we do seed viewers, in which, in a plastic cup, they put in two paper towels. One is wrapped like a ruler, and that was placed in there. And then inside of that, we have them put a wrinkled up paper towel, and then they plant three different kinds of seeds: the bean seeds, corn seeds, and pea seeds. And we try to work in some math with this one, because they have to move. The first seed is planted in one spot, and then it's moved one third of the way around. And if it's towards the end of the school year, in which they're starting to look at fractions, we can explain how fractions work. And then they plant all nine seeds, and then they water them, and they have to keep that watered constantly so that they don't dry out. Then we come back in 2 weeks, and we take one a bean seed that I've soaked for 2 days, and we explain that this seed has a seed coat, just like they have a coat of skin, and that holds them together. And they get a chance then to open up the bean seed, and on the inside they can see the very, very tiny leaf that is starting to grow along with the root coming out of the seed. And
That's really wonderful, and I wish that our audience, we were on television, because Bert has an example of what he has just done with these second graders then sitting in front of us, and we can see the beginning of this plant, and then the more advanced and the further most advanced of the plant. So thank you for bringing those visuals along with you today. Are you doing anything, Bert, that's unique at any of these schools that you can't do, say, at other schools, or is the curriculum pretty straightforward?
Right, it's pretty straightforward. Once in a while, we'll have a teacher ask about something, and we do special programs from time to time.
Okay.
Based on what they want.
Based on what the teacher has raised and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you tell us about, you do have people working with you too, what, five or six people working with you?
Right, depending upon the program.
Yes.
We'll have five to six people that work. When we get to fifth grade, I have that on a disc, and I'll just go myself, and we use the disc and ask questions, and that's called How Rock Becomes Soil.
Oh, my. Isn't that interesting? Well, now let's move on to Julie's program. Then let's talk about the gardening and the nature-related curricula that you provided for the students at Strange Elementary in Kenosha Unified. So what grades are you working with, and what's your approach? What do you do? Julie?
Well, we work with, this year we're working with second and third graders. Previously we had worked with fourth and fifth graders. I have to mention my team. Those on the team are Master Gardeners Ruth Perry, Marge Schlagenhaft, and Gary Schultz. We have a great team.
Okay, so there's a team of four of you
then working
at Strange Elementary in second and third grade.
And our main focus, of course, is vegetable gardening and nature-related activities. been, I get some of my ideas from the Junior Master Gardener Teacher Guide as far as hands-on activities. There isn't a Junior Master Gardener program in the area, but I do have materials that I can...
That you have access to. Who right. publishes those materials? Are they state materials or are they nationwide materials?
I think they're state materials.
And I believe most of the information came from other states, and it was just a collaboration of several different unit of extension from different states.
Okay, so this is a sharing way, and then you mm-hmm. can pick up curriculum ideas.
Right, and activity ideas for hands-on activities.
Yes.
And obviously, planting, maintaining, and harvesting vegetables is our main focus. But in our indoor classes, we do some garden planning and cooking from the garden. When we do parts of the plant, followed by a hands-on activity with bean seeds and gel balls that we, the bean seeds and gel balls we put in a little plastic bag. And then the following week, each of the students looks at their bean seed to see how it has sprouted.
Similar to what Bert has here?
Right. And talking about the life cycle of a seed, from a seed to a germination to a seedling to a plant.
Uh-huh.
And then another part of that, parts of the plant, we talk about the hands-on activity is celery stalks in blue, in water with blue dye. And then the following week we look at that, and then the students can see how the celery has moved the water up through the stalk into the leaves to show the students this is what the plant needs to be healthy and to grow.
How it nourishes the
right.
plant.
And they can actually see, obviously, the water going up the plant and the celery stalk.
Well,
and they love these hands-on activities.
That's great.
And we also do, when it gets closer to planting in the garden, we do make newspaper pots out of newspaper and start our bean seeds in there.
Yes.
And then when they get to be seedlings, they can plant the whole pot into the soil. Take it outside, and we plant it into the garden with their, they get a popsicle stick, and they put their name on it. So when it, they harvest the own, their own beans that they planted.
And when we had breakfast earlier this morning, you were telling me about that you work with a group, what, of 20 at a time, you
yes.
and your volunteers?
Mm-hmm. Right. There are 80 second graders and 80 third graders. So we work with one class at a time, which is 20 students. So we have 15 minutes with each of the four groups of 20.
So you have to really be
right.
moving along.
It's a logistics nightmare. No, I'm just kidding.
It's
but
challenging.
It's very organized, uh-huh. and the students love it. And I think their attention span is just right for the 15 minutes as far as trying to present a concept and then in hands-on activity.
Right. Okay, so and so then that's, so both second grade and third grade, groups of 20 then, and
mm-hmm.
you have an hour's time,
mm-hmm.
what, once a week?
Yes, mm-hmm. Tuesdays. Mm-hmm.
Tuesdays, okay.
Yeah.
Is that for the whole semester or the whole school year?
Whole year.
Great.
Actually, all through summer school too, but in summer school we have obviously additional students and different students because of how summer school is arranged in
uh-huh.
Kenosha Unified. So the only month we do not work with students is August
uh-huh.
because they don't have summer school.
Okay. So how is the summer school program different from the regular school program that you talked about?
Well, the summer school program would be all outdoors. The
okay.
regular the regular school year, we go outdoors in April and start our early spring plants,
yes.
spring crops. And so they're outdoors from spring, from April until June until they leave. And then summer school is maintaining the garden in June and July and harvesting.
Okay. And then when they harvest it, do they get to take it home to eat it? What do they do?
Mm-hmm. Then when we harvest, they each get a brown lunch bag. And with our 14 beds, we'll direct the students to a certain bed and say, okay, you can put your beans in this bag and then tomatoes from another bed, cucumbers from another bed. And they can take them home. And during the month of August, when there are no students there, we harvest, the gardeners harvest, master gardeners do, and take it to the Shalom Center.
Oh, okay, okay. So all of the food gets used
Oh,
then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yep.
And that's really...
And another thing we do as far as maintaining the garden, we make whirligigs, we call them, and it's... we take plastic water bottles and cut them into strips, and then we attach beads to them because they found out that birds love fresh seeds when we plant fresh seeds in the garden. So these plastic strips hanging on strings around the garden keep the birds away. And I tell them it doesn't hurt the birds. The birds just don't want to come into the garden because they see these things flashing.
That's wonderful. Bert, do you do that sort of thing too in connection with yours?
No, that we haven't. In fact, we haven't had a school garden for a number of years now because of construction have overtaken some of our beds. But the Knapp School in Racine has contacted me, and we are going to be doing a garden with them, an after-school program. And so we'll have plenty of time to work with the kids.
Will that be this spring then and into the summer or what?
Yes, from this spring. In fact, we'll probably be starting late winter and getting to know the kids and finding out what they want to plant. And then we'll help them with their planting, turning over the soil, and try to keep them busy, learning, and harvesting. And then they will be able to come back during the summertime and harvest off of those beds.
Okay. Now, Julie, you mentioned you had a potato patch, too. Mm-hmm. Now, how does that fit into what you were talking about earlier?
Our potato patch is next to the school building, and it's we started it a couple of years ago. Gary Schultz, one of the volunteers, is our potato master. He knows everything there is to know about potatoes. So then last summer he suggested, let's try not only that potato bed, but one of our raised beds, grow potatoes in the raised beds. I was kind of leery, but I said, okay, Gary, let's do it. And both beds were very successful. And that's one of the things that the kids are almost squealing when they start digging the potatoes. We bring the pitchforks in, and when it's time to harvest them, and they just become ecstatic when they see them. You pull out the, and all these potatoes are attached to the roots. It is just rewarding, very rewarding. I don't know if the kids don't know where they come from, but just to see them, their eyes, experience.
I think that's typical of our culture today is we have so many products that we use, but we have no ideas where those products come from. And so this demiss then potatoes.
Right. And the same excitement comes when they dig up their carrots. And last summer I gave them seeds that were multicolored carrots. So some were purple, some were yellow, some were orange. And they would be digging around the carrots to take them out. What color did you get? They were just so excited to see these colors come out of the ground.
What sort of experiences, Bert, have you had then with kids harvesting and being excited about what they've found? Do you raise potatoes too?
No, we don't. But one of the experiences that I had here just a few years ago at the Jane School is that's a year around, or was a year around school. It isn't anymore. Yes. And they planted all types of vegetables, and one of them was beans. And when the beans were ready to be picked, I had them line up and told them, now we're going to learn how to take a bean off of the stalk. And so we did. You take the bean in one hand, and then you pinch with the other hand to take it off. And each kid was doing that, and then they could eat that bean right then. But as I was doing that, I got a tap on the shoulder, and I turned around, and here was a young fellow, and he says, I've got my bean. Not only did he have one bean, he had the whole plant.
But this happened in our garden, too.
You can't really chastise them, you know, and say, no, you can't do that. Then later, when I was done, then he came back, and I showed him what happens when you have taken the plant out now. There will be no more beans on there because it can't produce any more beans.
Right, and so that's why you harvest them carefully.
Right.
How about, do either of you raise peas then as part of your gardens or not?
We start peas in the spring.
Uh-huh.
And when those are finished, then we plant more beans. I mean, everything we pull, like the lettuce, when that's finished in the summer, we'll plant more beans. And so the students are always planting something. and harvesting something.
Which holds their interest then, too.
Right, exactly. And to show that it's just not a one-time thing that you plant and you're done. You can keep adding crops.
Where do you get your supplies then? Who pays for the supplies and that sort of thing? Do you end up paying for the supplies?
I get a grant from Racine Kenosha Master Gardeners Association.
Ah.
And obviously it doesn't pay for all the supplies. But one of the classes we do, one of the favorites of the students is cooking from the garden. And we don't necessarily use what they have grown because we usually do this as an indoor activity after the garden is finished. But the other master gardeners on the team bring in the ingredients, all chopped and everything in bowls. So then the student's job in cooking from the garden is they have to read the recipe and they have to measure. And also, if there's lime in the recipe, because we make a cucumber salsa and a pico de gallo, and they have to squeeze the limes. They don't get lime juice. They have to squeeze it in a old-fashioned lime squeezer that you put on top of a glass, and then they have to, they kind of look strangely at it, but once they get the hang of it, they do it.
How about you, Bert, then?
Well, we get a grant from the Potpourri Garden Club every year to help us with, and then at Stein's Gardens and Gifts, we get a discount on plants that we're going to be getting and using. And Clemas Feeds in Franksville furnishes us with the seeds. And he's been very gracious in not asking. All he asks for, I should say, is a letter back from the kids. And that's one of the things we do. The kids always write a letter, either thanks to the master gardeners or else to the people that have furnished the seeds.
Oh, okay. That's really great. At this point, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today, I am visiting with Bert Blumgren and Julie White, Master Gardeners, and Jeannie Helsinski Christensen, UW Extension Interim Horticulture Educator for Racine and Kenosha Counties, as they discuss their gardening programs involving Kenosha and Racine Elementary students. Now back to our program. So let's see now, where are we in terms of our questions? So how do the students respond to the various aspects of your work? What do they like best? What do they like least? Do they have to plow the garden? That's what I hated when I was a kid, was spading the garden. Oh, my goodness, I hated that. Comments.
Well, in our case, when we had gardens, Unified always did the rototilling for the gardens. That was, we were not allowed to touch that.
Ah, okay.
And so they would come in and take care of us. And I'm sure they would do that again now at the Knapp School, which we'll be working at this spring. But otherwise, they learn how to turn over soil and that it's necessary, and putting in fertilizers. And the kids are great, and they enjoy it. One experience many, many years ago was over at the O'Brown, and we were having them mulch. And one of the kids put a pitchfork through his foot. He didn't tell anybody until after he got home. It wasn't that serious, but pitchforks were no longer allowed at that school.
I can see why.
But otherwise, they love just getting their hands in the soil.
Okay, that's really is wonderful. Just to see then where things come from, because you see them arrayed so nicely in the grocery store, and you have no sense for what went into preparing those items.
Yeah, and also they get to see what the plant or what the produce really looks like, not just perfect.
Yes.
But
the distortions.
Right. And that they're still as good as the rest.
That's wonderful. And Julie, then, how about you in terms of plowing the soil and preparing the soil?
All of our beds have been filled with a mixture of soil and compost.
Yes.
And so then every spring when we're going to start new beds, and I mean new gardens, in the beds, in the soil has to be replenished, we put down a couple layers of newspaper, which keeps the weeds at bay.
Yes.
And then compost on top of that. So we really don't till, but we put compost on top of the newspaper, and then they plant in that. And if they're planting a seedling, like a tomato plant or a cucumber plant, they'll shovel through the layer of newspaper and put it down below. But seeds they'll put in the top layer.
Do they learn how then to weed their gardens and to always say
we
to
try
that
not
too
to have
as a
weeds.
Kid?
Yeah.
No, that is one of the things
that's
that
why we put newspaper down. We try not to have weeds.
Yeah, the kids love to weed.
Do they?
Oh yes, yeah. They pulling those plants out, and once in a while you got to stop them because they're going to be pulling out.
Right.
The
right.
wrong
the
thing.
Plant.
Yes.
Yeah. There always right. has to be a gardener with the. When they're weeding, there has to be a gardener with them. Not that one.
Yes, exactly. You're right, because they don't know which is
exactly.
the good plant and which is not, you know, which is the weed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Until they bring it to you and say, oops.
Yeah, there it slips on that for that particular one. So have any of your students come back to help you with these projects or gone on to be science teachers because of this experience?
Well, I know of one student. They don't come back at all.
Yes.
I mean, they're,
well, you've
they're
been
gone,
in the business
right.
long enough,
yes,
Bert.
Yes, right. And, but I got a letter from a parent that based on the summer school that the kid experienced, they were going to have their first garden at home.
Ah.
So I'm sure it rubs off with a lot of the kids.
Well, that is certainly reinforcing because ultimately that's what you want people to do. I think our society is doing more and more to encourage people to learn about gardening. Have you had that same experience, Julie, then?
The experience of?
Of having kids come and say that their parents have started a garden because of this experience.
Mm-hmm. And we're in a neighborhood, in a neighborhood school.
Yes.
And during the summer, some of the kids who live in the neighborhood have come back and helped during the summer school classes. It was so gratifying to see them come back and enjoy the garden again. And when talking to students, some of them will say, my grandparents have a garden, and they help them with the garden.
And so they've learned an appreciation for
right.
the work that goes into it, mm-hmm. plus the product that comes out of that.
Right. And I try to tell them every once in a while, especially when they pick a carrot and start eating it, or a bean, that a garden is the real fast food. Right? You don't have to go to the drive-thru. You don't have to wait in line. It's not greasy. You just go out the door, go to your garden, pick a carrot, eat it. It's faster food, better food.
Okay. So, Jeannie, feel free to add in anywhere. You've got a nice background in terms of agriculture on a bigger scale.
Right. I just want to comment that a lot of the projects that both Bert and Julie are doing have been enhanced a bit at the levels that they're working with the STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and math, which is huge in our schools now. And all of these projects, I go to different schools and I see them and I talk to some educators and they're like, yeah, we just extend what they've taught us and put it into their curriculum. So this is, you know, a benefit for them.
Okay. I keep wondering if this should be a part of the curriculum for all of the elementary kids, you know,
oh,
Los Angeles Kenosha Unified or Racine Unified or wherever.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that we do that really doesn't have anything to do with gardening but the kids absolutely love is I bring a camera to each class, and then the students take turns taking pictures of their classmates. And then a couple times a year I'll develop pictures and bring in, this would be during the winter, and bring them into class, and then they can choose a picture, one that they're in or something, and put it on a piece of paper. And I said, but you can't take a picture and use it unless you write something about it. So if you put it on the paper, you also have to either tell who's in the picture, what they're doing, and they just love that. But and it's also a cross in between to writing as far as their other schoolwork. But they love taking pictures of each other. And, and I make extra copies, and if they want to take some home, they are welcome to do that as well.
Well, and that's encouraging the writing part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bert, let's talk about harvesting the product then that you go through with the kids.
Well, they can collect all of the vegetables that they grow, and then during the summertime, they sign up with the parents. They come periodically in and harvest then.
Uh-huh.
And we've had success with that kind of a program.
Okay. Tell our listeners then about your schedule then as a master gardener working in the schools that you are involved with. So are you involved right now and during the winter, or do you wait later till spring?
Well, we'll start in February. We'll be doing second graders and third graders. Just before the spring break, we do the first graders,
uh-huh.
and then we're back with the second and third graders and fourth graders. So we've finished off two schools already this calendar school year, and our next schedule will be about mid-February we'll uh-huh. have schools again.
Okay, Julie, so what sort of schedule do you have?
We gardened throughout the year. We were off the month of December.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, last week with third graders, we did the, or this week, and then next week with second graders, we will do another activity that they like, which is pine cone bird feeders.
Oh.
And we bring the pine cones in, and the string is already attached, and then we have, I call it the goop, but it's shortening and oatmeal. Then they paint it on the pine cone, and roll the pine cone in bird seed. And then they take it home and hang it on a branch. I tell them to hang it at the far end of the branch so that the squirrels don't get it.
Okay.
Because the squirrels also like birdseed.
That makes a lot of sense. So our time is fast passing. Let's see. Do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners? Jeannie, well, let us start with you. Then any closing thoughts?
Well, if anyone is interested in the Master Gardener program, we have not yet scheduled our 2018 training. This is just because we just finished the last one 6 weeks ago, and we're still there's a lot of things that have to be done at the state level with that. And as soon as all of that paperwork is done and compiled, then we can think about the next level one training. And we're hoping to do it again in fall if we don't do it sooner. But I've got a lot of people calling. They see our articles in the paper, and they're like, when are you going to have the next class? And we're trying our best, but like I said, I'm interim, and we're short on staff right now with extension as we restructure. So we will be offering it again in 2018, but we just don't know yet. So I'm telling people, go ahead, check the websites for both Racine and Kenosha Extension, and hopefully we'll be able to get the information out there as soon as possible.
Okay. Julie, any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I feel this is a very rewarding program to be involved in, both being a master gardener and working with kids.
Wonderful.
And mainly because I see the reaction of the kids when a little light goes off and they see where their food comes from.
Yes.
And they actually enjoy eating a bean right from the garden. Very rewarding.
Wonderful. Thank you. Bert, finally.
Well, the one great thing that concerns me is that I'm happy.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm happy. And the kids keep you young. No matter how old you're getting, the kids keep you young.
So that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. To our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as I visited with Bert Blomgren and Julie White, Master Gardeners, and Jean Halinski Christensen, UW Extension Interim Horticulture Educator for Racine and Kenosha Counties, as they discussed their programs involving Kenosha and Racine County elementary students. I wish you well in the challenges that face you in your work introducing our young people to the importance and joys of gardening. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Linda Fleshinsky, a mother, grandmother, freelance writer, and former Racine School Board president. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning and welcome to WGTD and this is our Saturday morning program, Community Matters. I'm Linda Fleshensky, the host for this week's edition of Community Matters. Today, we're probably introducing you, our listeners, to a relatively new program in our area that you may not have heard about. It is called Feather and Nest,